I'm excited because we just picked up so many nuggets. And Jim said, you share. You're the one that wrote the notes. So I'm going to quickly just share. he delegated. We went with such expectation and just request of the Lord, and he did not disappoint. And I thought the other day, hon, I thought we should have asked for even more and gone with even greater expectation. We were not disappointed. We flew in on a Tuesday afternoon to Sacramento, rented a car, and drove on into Redding, and went early Wednesday morning to register, and they weren't open yet. So we drove around and got our bearings and got a bite to eat, and Jim says, do you want to go to the mall and shop? And I said, no, I really don't. And Redding sets kind of in a valley, and it's surrounded by these mountains, and it's kind of like a horseshoe shape. And I said, hon, let's just take I-5 and just drive up through the mountains. And so we had been maybe 20 miles, and we came to a sign that said at Shasta Lake and Shasta Dam. And that was the time of the floods, and Oroville Dam was being compromised, and they were having to fix that. And so we thought, well, let's go look. And just powerful. It was just so incredibly high, and not as high as Oroville. And so I can't imagine what that looked like. But we walked the dam, and there were three spillways. I thought that was significant. And there were water that was spigots or something. I don't know. There's a specific name for that, but you know, there was already water spilling out. But we could hear little snippets of conversation, and there were a lot of people there that day. And so we asked someone, and they said, well, every 15 years they open the floodgates and they test it. And so we got to go in this theater kind of thing with this panoramic glass window, and we watched. And they began to open those spillways. And at the top of the spillway was just these big old cylinder kind of things with a lip on it. And it was just almost imperceptible at first, but eventually, just little by little, that floodgate began to move, and you could see that water starting to pour over. And I felt the Lord in a way I'd never felt him before. It was like his presence came down like a cylinder around me, and it was like he whispered, and he says, I'm opening the floodgates. So we texted Mike, and we sent him pictures, and of course it was prophetic. Wednesday evening, the speaker was Bishop Tudor Bismarck from Zimbabwe, and he and his wife, beautiful African couple, incredibly, incredibly articulate, and he spoke on James 1:7, the good gifts and the perfect gifts. And then the next morning, he spoke on the dispensations of time, seasons. And he said that the dispensations of time is a period of time where God moves and deals with his people in a certain way. And he said there was an age of innocence when Adam and Eve were in the garden. Then there became an age of consciousness when they fell and they were shoved out of the garden. And he was like Dorman. I could not keep up with all the scriptures, so I got a few down. He talked about the time when Moses came on the scene. There became a dispensation of law, and that went all the way up to John the Baptist. And when John the Baptist said, prepare ye the way of the Lord, and he spoke about the kingdom and the violent take it by force, he was transitioning us into the next dispensation. And I look at them, no wonder they were so confused and kind of discombobulated, because they were in transition. The next dispensation was the church age, where Jesus was in charge over the church and he was teaching us. And that's all we've ever known, is the church age. And I was telling Carla the other day, I said, I know I'm probably like a lot of you. I've known that the church has been in transition, but I thought, Lord, what are we transitioning into? What does it look like? What are we supposed to be doing? And they answered, yes, Lord. He said that dispensations or ages don't stop abruptly and another one starts. He said one will ebb away and another one will have already started to overflow and it begins flowing. And he says, we are coming to the end of the church age. Blew me away. But he said the dispensation that is already here is kingdom. Yes, sir. It's kingdom. We are at the beginning of kingdom. He also gave us some figures, and he said in the next 10 years in the United States alone, 30% of current pulpits will need to be replaced. He talked about spiritual centers or apostolic hubs, and he said like Dallas is a hub, you know, it receives people and it sends them out. He said an apostolic hub, and he said Reading is an apostolic hub that affects the world. They have kingdom culture. They have a global mindset. And he said with a spiritual center, there comes responsibilities of that spiritual hub. One is it places, it's a place that breaks ceilings. What was known beforehand is still taught, but they tell of what is to come. They take territory and they keep what's been taken. And Jim and I watched Hacksaw Ridge the other night, and just so amazing, you know, several times. Once those men had already gone up, they were forced back by the Koreans, and they had to go, and they took back, and the Koreans shoved them back again. And I don't know how many times that happened. Finally, they took that ground, and they stood, didn't they? And he said that's part of that apostolic center is they take territory, and they keep what's been taken. A spiritual center also is a faith center. It builds faith. It keeps the bar high so it can be exported out. They export ministry gifts, and they said our best ministry gifts is what needs to be given out. And a spiritual center creates pool of blessing. Pools of blessing. And I know that's what Jim received, far beyond what we could see and remember and write down. There was just this incredible, thank you, Lord, blessing that was there. A spiritual center sets the pace. They set the level of excellence. They're responsible for versatility, stability, progressive structure, and they are responsible for raising massive finances. And it's interesting, Redding said that they were going to lose 4 police officers. And they have recently turned loose of a lot of the prisoners within the prison and just let them go free. And so it's created quite a challenge. And so they took up an offering, and they took up enough to put those 4 policemen or keep them in their jobs for the next 2 years. They also bought the Civic Center because it was going to go under. And so they said, we'll buy it, we will remodel it if you will let us oversee it. And so it's still open. In fact, their first concert there was 5 Fingers of Death. But what they are doing is bringing culture, kingdom culture, and they are relating to those people in God's grace, in God's love. And bringing that kingdom dominion into those places. Quickly, I know there's lots of stuff going on. Chris Vallotton spoke the next afternoon, and he talked on epic seasons and Kairos moments. And he said again that these epic seasons are ways that God deals with people. And he said, right now, we've just crossed over into God dealing with us in a different way. He talked about Isaiah 42, God is doing a new thing. And in Matthew, when Jesus came on the scene, they didn't know that there was a new season. They didn't know that they were being, talked to by God in a different way. He was doing things new. He talked about the sons of Issachar who knew the times. They had great revelation of the times, but they also had understanding that went along with that, so they knew what to do with those times. He said, definition of humility is a lifetime learner. I loved that, lifetime learner. And then Chris also talked about the fullness of time. And Ephesians 1:7, let me give you one scripture so we'll know that we have had scripture. In him we have salvation, we have redemption through his blood, the remission of sins. In accordance with the riches and the generosity of his gracious favor, which he lavished upon us in every kind of wisdom and understanding, making known to us the mystery of his will, in accordance with his good pleasure, which he had previously purposed and set forth in him, he planned for the maturity of the times. Or he planned for the fullness of the times, the climax of the ages, to unify all things. And I think my old Baptist mindset, you know, I always thought that was in heaven. that fullness of time was in heaven. But there was a fullness of time when Jesus came on the scene. There's a fullness of time that we're entering into. So he says he planned for the maturity of the time and the climax of the ages to unify all things, head them up, and consummate them in Christ, both things in heaven and things on earth. And so he was saying that during this fullness of time, this is a time that we live life from heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. And I think most of my life, that's what I've been taught. We've lived from earth to heaven. But now it's time, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're bringing heaven to earth. Kairos time is quantitative. It's the perfect moment. It's when divine favor meets divine opportunity. The fullness of time makes you alive. I liked that. We're also in chronos time, the beginning and the end. It's a measure of time. It's linear. But as believers, we're in that eternal time. And when we're exchanged, that moment, we have entered into that eternal. But eternity is past, present, future. That's why the promises of Abraham are ours. That's why in the past, when Jesus died, we died with him. So eternal time. Again, life from heaven to earth, not earth to heaven. And he said three things that show kairos time. There's an acceleration. And Jimmy talked about that last week. There's suddenlies instead of years of waiting. And he says we've come into this season in the last 12 months. And I know there's many of you out here, I want suddenlies for my children. I want suddenlies for my grandchildren. He also talked, another thing that shows kairos time is there's unusual occurrences, things that never happen or happen against great odds. It inspires people to be drawn with you, and you can call them into their destiny easily. He talked about the things in the sports that had happened, Chicago Cubs winning against all odds. He talked about several others, basketball, there were some soccer things over in Europe, but he also talked about Trump. And he says, whether you like him or not, whether you voted for him or not, you know, he won against great odds. He also said that another sign for kairos time is supernatural interventions. And this was interesting. He said, God allows divinely placed giants in your promised land. And I put healing in parentheses. He allows divinely placed giants in your promised land so you can take them down. He said, anything is possible in the suddenlies, divine opportunity and favor. And that's where we've entered into. This is the season to apprehend the promises and the prophetic words this season. So I've pulled out all of my old prophecies and I've been reading them. And I've been holding them up to the Lord and reminding him it's time to do that, folks. Apprehend the promises and the prophetic words. And then Chris Vallotton gave us four prophecies. Hang on to these. Russia and America will work together to benefit the world. The Russians will join America to stand by Israel. China will become the most generous country. And then he said, the planet is in a kairos time. It's going to happen. The next evening, Johnny Enlow spoke, and he's very much along the lines of Lance Wall now, if you've heard of him. And he talks about the seven pillars or the seven mountains, and he was just saying that he had a message of reformation, and that reformation comes about in the kingdom age. And let me just quickly give you those seven. Media or news, the way we communicate. Economy, finances. Government, how many know we need reformation there? Education, you know, even though I was just a lowly music teacher, choir teacher, / voice teacher, you know, the absurdity of the things that we teachers were asked to do that had nothing to do with teaching and bringing those children along. I know education needs to be reformed. Family, arts and entertainment, and religion. And he said that in kingdom, Well, this is the 500th anniversary year of the First Reformation. And he said that in the First Reformation and all this time in between there, the question was, how do we get to heaven? But he said now in the Second Reformation, the question that we need to be asking is, how do we bring heaven to earth? Isn't that neat? Isn't that exciting? That gives us vision. And I just, the whole time, I was kind of blown away. I thought, Lord, I've put you in another box. By the limits of my little old mind, I've put you in a box again. And he blew that box away, and he just gave us such vision for where we're going. He talked about the year of the sevens. Remember, Chuck Pierce did that as well. Interesting, he said, the world will have so many changes that it will be known as before Trump and after Trump. That he was called to be a bulldozer. He was called to be a bulldozer. Chris Vallotton spoke again. All the promises of ours are because we are born of faith. God always raises promises from the dead. The promise of Abraham is our promise. We should be involved in discipling nations. And I love this one. We need to love the world so they won't hate us, but they'll miss us. Mm-hmm. And then the last night, Bishop Bismarck spoke again, and wow. He said, this is the time for establishing dominion. This is the time for a great need for understanding. This is the time for a great need for the prophetic. And he said, a church is only as powerful as its most gifted people. And understanding, he said, comes from four sources, through schooling, K-12, college, whatever we have. Also just by life itself, the experiences that we have. But he said the greatest is through revelation from heaven. And now is the time for that revelation for heaven so we'll know how to walk. And then he talked about prophecy, and I love this because are you like me, you've had a prophecy and you haven't seen anything? And you kind of get frustrated. And I had one of those aha moments. And he says, all prophecy has a birth date, a growing season, and a harvest. Sometimes we're in all of those different stages. And then he went, like dormant again, scripture upon scripture upon scripture. But what he was doing was just showing us the acceleration of prophecy. In Genesis 3, when the first prophecy was given by God to Adam about a Savior, and it says in Galatians 4:4, when the fullness of time came, Jesus was born. That prophecy was 4,000 years old. When he gave the covenant to Abraham, that took 1,000 years. Let me skip on down. There was a prophecy in Jeremiah that took 70 years. Elisha gave a prophecy in 2 Kings that took 1 year. And then a few chapters later, Elisha gave another one that happened 24 hours later. And so it is the time for accelerated prophecy. And then he ended, I just was so excited last week, Marion, because you were talking about that generational blessing and what you saw with our families that have those three generations there. And I, too, I'm so thankful for my family and that heritage that has been laid for us. But Bishop Bismarck was calling forth, and he said, we all need to call forth the generational blessings that have been not only on our grandparents, but their grandparents and their grandparents. So call forth that generational blessing for your family. And then that accelerated prophecy, Jimmy had that very same word, that we are in an accelerated time. And I thought, Lord, thank you that we are hearing the exact same things that those men and women of God are saying. He said that this is also, there is a time and an anointing to kill the giants. Kill the giants. And we are in the harvest season of prophecy. Isn't that cool? So, Dorman, I just thank you and Jana. You know, just the short time that we've been here, the foundation of kingdom that you've laid in us. And I just am amazed. From week to week, you are always setting the bar a little bit higher. You know, he's talked about healing, but last week he said, now there's perfect health that we need to walk in as well. There's another place of vision, and he's always constantly making us look a little bit higher and a little farther. We have that kingdom culture right here. In Little Old Hereford, Texas, we have kingdom culture. God is speaking to us. And so I just thank you. I just speak blessing over you and Jana. I love you and I thank you. And I just ask for multiplied blessing upon you and your family. And Lord, thank you for everything that you are doing in us. Woo! Thank you, Lord. All right, Dorman, I'm going to get out of the way.
Well, I told him I said all I knew in one sentence, but I'd be glad to repeat that sentence. I thought it was interesting that he used the analogy or the metaphor of a tsunami. And I thought back to the one in Indonesia, and was it 04, and then Fukushima, Japan. Interesting thing about a tsunami, before the wave comes, the water begins to recede. You can be walking along the shoreline, and all of a sudden the water just goes out to sea. And parts underneath the water that you'd never seen before, sometimes out for hundreds of yards, depending on the topography of the land, becomes exposed. And I remember hearing testimonies from people in Indonesia. When they saw that happen, they thought, what is going on? They didn't know an earthquake could happen. And then some of them remembered the ancestors telling them, whenever that happens, get to high ground. But I just thought that was a neat analogy that Eric brought up. But what causes the tsunami is the shaking of the earth. And God says, I will shake the heavens and the earth. So we're hearing lots of things that just, as you pointed out, Marcia, just seem to be aligning about the shaking. And then look out and we haven't sung this particular song in a while, but I'm in over my head, you know. That's the kind of tsunami we want right there.